thinking about the problem. And this is the thing that I think on instead of thinking on the bigness of my God that I serve. And we do this over and over again. It could be a person. So we have a person and our individual, and that individual is giving you grief in the job. And so what happens is you start magnifying a person instead of magnifying your God. And so I have more examples. Your job. If maybe this morning you have a concern in your job, and so you take out the magnifying glass and all you think about is the job, the job, the job. And so it becomes a big capital J-O-B in your life. And this is the concern, or anything. I have to just have the word anything that you would magnify above the bigness of God. Now, as humans, as humanity living on this side of the kingdom, these become the things that center or focus our lives. But here's what Jesus says, that we are to magnify him in such a way that he gets the focus, that he becomes exalted. And so this morning, we want to magnify not the thing that has gotten to us, like the crawfish. Or maybe I heard a story of someone, and it was someone who had a dear friend, and they had been praying with their husband for almost 20 years for a second child. They were unable to conceive. I know what that feels like. And so they were bringing that before the Lord, bringing that for the Lord. But they had a first child that they weren't even that taken care of because they were so consumed before the Lord, bringing that experience to the Lord. And she says, I found myself, she said, instead of exalting the Lord, she said, I used to exalt the Lord and praise the Lord. She says, I was magnifying the problem that we weren't getting pregnant. And that's when you lose your peace. That's when you have deep grief. That's when it becomes your companion. And that, she said, is when my heart broke. So this morning, we're not going to magnify our problems, though they could be there. We're not going to magnify our worries, though there could be a concern. And so your troubles will seem very big, and the God that you serve will seem very small. And this morning, what we want to do is flip that around and say, my God is very big, and my trouble and my concern and my worry and my problem and anything else in my life is very small because my God is very big. Now, John Piper says this, and I want you to look at the screen. It says the whole duty of a Christian can be summed up in this: to feel, think, and act in a way that makes God look as great as he really is. I need to memorize that in my life. I need to have that sort of as a theme. That our duty as believers in Jesus is that we will sum it up in these words. That we will say, I need to act. I need to feel. I need to, even in my thoughts, I need to act in a way that will make God as big as he really is. God is already big. The problem is that a lot of times, because we're magnifying these small things, our God seems small. But God is not changed. He is a big God, and he is an awesome God, and he is a powerful God, and he is in charge of all things, and he has a concern for you and for I. And this is where Psalm 69 comes into place. So if you're looking at the scripture this morning, Psalm 69 was attributed to King David. He had some problems. He had some concerns. He had some worries. He had a king that came before him was crazy. And then he had one of his sons rise up in rebellion. So it wasn't that David didn't have problems. It wasn't that he didn't have concerns. It wasn't that he didn't have people or jobs or things that were going on in his life. He had all of these things. But in this psalm, he begins to cry out to the Lord to let him magnify. Somebody say magnify. Magnify. Now, this is a description, some say, of Messiah, of Jesus. You'll see these messianic psalms. This is probably one of them, where we see David writing in such a way that he's speaking in his now, but then he's also speaking in the where that Jesus is coming and saying, I am coming. And so he begins to declare also the good news of Jesus. Look at Psalm 69. We're going to skip all the way to verse 29. And it says this. Now, David says this, but I am afflicted and in pain. To magnify God doesn't mean that you won't have affliction or you won't have pain. You'll have both, right? I mean, that's just sort of typical. We live in a broken world. So David isn't saying, I don't have pain, or I don't have affliction, or you don't have a problem, or you don't have something going on at your job. That's not just like pushing it under the rug and saying, well, God's so good. No, we have these things. So David says that, but I am afflicted and I am in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. So in the midst of the problem, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of anything you're going through, that instead God would be set on high in David's life. Look at verse 30. It says, I will praise the name. Excuse me. I will praise the name. He commands himself. It wasn't I might. It wasn't, okay, maybe if I feel a certain way or if my emotions line up with my praise. No, rather David is saying, I will. It's commanding your life and saying, okay, I am afflicted, I am in pain, but God, I'm setting salvation of God on high. And then he says, I will praise the name of God with a song. We did that this morning. I will magnify. Somebody say magnify. Now listen to what he says. How does he magnify the Lord? We know how we magnify our problems. We take out something and we start examining them and we start looking at them and we start saying that's the only thing that we see. But David says, no, I'm going to magnify the Lord. And then he gives us the secret on how to do it. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Everybody say with thanksgiving. What do you, in the job? In the person? In the problem? Yeah. So we learn to magnify the Lord and not our problems, and the way that we do it is through thanksgiving, where we start thinking of those little things. Those things that God has already brought us through, what God has already done in your job, a problem that he's already solved, a concern that you brought before the Lord 5 years ago, and God was good then, so you know that he's going to be good now. And so here's what David says in verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. So we have to be a people that magnify not the concern, not the problem, not the situation. Rather, we magnify the God that we serve, and the way that we do that is with thanksgiving. Somebody says thanksgiving. It says in verse 31, David writes, this will please the Lord more than an ox. That sounds weird in today's culture because I don't have an ox. You probably don't have an ox. But an ox would be a symbol of sacrifice that they would sacrifice unto the Lord to cover their sins. And David understood that if I magnify the Lord with thanksgiving, that is better than me going into the house of the Lord and offering a sacrifice. Why? Because David knew that God sees the heart. And he's looking at the heart. And so David writes this. He says, this will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. 32, it says, when the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek the Lord God, let your hearts revive. If your heart is low, if you're in a bad place, and you know that just in your heart, like maybe your heart has grown cold, or maybe it's grown weary, or maybe it's grown discouraged, when you humble yourself and you seek God and you magnify the God that you serve with thanksgiving, here's what's going to happen. Your heart will revive. You remember what it's like to go into the sanctuary of the Lord. You remember what it's like to enter into this presence of God. And so you start looking for God in all the small things of your life, like oat milk. And you start thinking, God, that you can eat king crabs, even though you might not have king crabs, but you can eat king crabs. And you start letting your heart revive again. Look at verse 33. It says, for the Lord hears the needy. And he does not despise his own people who are prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion, and he will build up the cities of Judah. And people shall dwell there and possess it. the offspring of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. So David begins to remind himself, this is not the end. We are set up for eternity. There is a heaven. There is a Zion. There are the cities of Judah. There are people that will dwell it. The offsprings of the servants shall inherit it. And those who love his name, that's you and I and David, and those that have come before us and those that will come behind us that have given up their life for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here's what he's saying, that we get to dwell there forever. And this morning, that's what I am going to magnify. So, four things. In order to quit magnifying the concern, the problem, the person, the situation, whatever these big things are in your life, the job, in order to quit magnifying those things, we're going to magnify the Lord with thanksgiving and gratitude in the smallest of things. Number one, if you're writing notes or if you have a bulletin this morning, this is in your bulletin that says this: magnify God in thankfulness by reminding yourself that he is good. Somebody say, God is good. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves. Be thankful for God because he is good. In Psalm 136 in verse 1, it says this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is... Oh, somebody said it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? He is good. Sometimes in the middle of a situation or something that was unexpected or something didn't line up in the way that you thought it should line up and things aren't going like you thought they should go, number one, you magnify God in thankfulness by reminding yourself in God's sovereignty and that he oversees all things, that the God that I serve is good. Walk and say that. Talk and say it. Write it in your journal. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. That's one of the ways this morning that you can begin to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Be thankful. Remind yourself. Just walk around your house, around your job, around your school, around your neighborhood, and begin to remind your soul. Look at what David did in Psalm 69. He said, I will praise. I will magnify. He is commanding his soul to magnify the Lord through thankfulness. And the way that we do that is saying, God, you are good. Number two, magnify God in thankfulness with a list of what he has done. That sounds strange, but let me explain it to you. Look at Psalm 30. It's going to be on the screen, verse 1 through 3. Here's what David writes. He says, I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. What is he doing? He is writing a list. He is saying all the things that God has done in his life. He begins to magnify the Lord with thankfulness, and then he just begins to declare, and he says this: God, you lifted me out of the depths. You did not let my enemies gloat over me, O Lord my God. I called for help, and you healed me. There's another part of the list. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. There's number four. You spared me from going down into the pit. Number five. You turned my wailing into dancing. Number six. You removed my sackcloth. Number seven. Number eight, you clothe me with joy. Number nine, my heart may sing to you and not be silent. Oh Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. In this case, the psalmist lists nine things and he begins to declare the Lord. Here's my list. Here's how I magnify the Lord. Here's how I declare the goodness of God. And he writes out the things that he is thankful for. Oh, let us magnify the Lord God with thanks, saying he is good, but then also declaring what he has done. You'll have a way to do this at the end of service. We'll write our own list. We'll begin to write things. Instead of magnifying the fact that you can't eat crawfish and that you can't eat shrimp, what I have to do is say, Lord, but I am thankful that I am a Cajun. I get to eat boiled seafood anyhow. And I've got boiled crabs. And I begin to declare, Lord, thank you, God, for what you've done. God, my list is oat milk this week, but it might be something else this week. God, I'm thankful that I got to see a sunrise. I used to only see sunsets, but now I'm seeing sunrises. And I begin to declare, and I begin to have a list. bliss. God, I thank you that you bless me with kids. God, I thank you for a husband that serves the Lord. And I begin to declare all of the good things that God has done in my life. God, look at where you brought me from. God, look at what has happened. God, and you declare in a list and you say, God, that's my list. Let us magnify the Lord today with thankfulness. And I'm going to write a list to do it. We got to quit grumbling and complaining and looking at the bad and start saying instead, Lord, I look at the good. Number three, magnify God in thankfulness that we are receiving his kingdom. That was in the Psalm, Psalm 29. At the end of the scriptures, it says, for God will save Zion. He'll build up the city of Judah, our offspring. We're going to be there. I have another Psalm. Well, actually, Hebrews 12 and verse 28, it says this, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, somebody say kingdom, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be what? Thankful. Why are we thankful? Because we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So this world is not my home. I don't live here forever. I have a kingdom that God is preparing in advance for us that serve the Lord. And we cannot be shaken. So what I am doing is I am magnifying the kingdom of God. Didn't we just do that at the end of the fourth Psalm? Didn't we say, for yours is the kingdom and yours is the glory? Why do we do that? Because we are declaring with our mouth and we are magnifying the Lord and saying, God, there is this kingdom on this side of earth, but there is a kingdom that I cannot see. There are angels that are dwelling around this building. There is a kingdom that is to come. And God, I am going to magnify you and I'm going to be thankful because I am receiving the kingdom because of Jesus. It says, therefore, look at Hebrews 12, 28 again. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Somebody say thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and in awe. So we worship the Lord and we thank him. God, I thank you that you're good. God, I am thanking you with my list of things that you've done in my personal life and the life of my family. God, I am thanking you, God, that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And last, it says this, magnify God in thankfulness for everything. This reminds us that in everything that we do, we are to be thankful and magnify the Lord. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says this, in everything do what? In everything do what? You know, we are a culture that celebrates Thanksgiving sometimes. Sometimes we just pass right on it and go into Christmas. Yeah, you know, I don't know if you noticed that, but we barely take time to go to Thanksgiving. We're already at Black Friday shopping, right? Like, we're already, like, we're online Cyber Monday. We're already doing those things. And I think our culture in general is a culture that looks at grumbling, that looks at complaining. We're always backbiting, always doing these things. And the Lord says, I want you to magnify me. I want you to be thankful. I want you to exalt me. And how does he want you to do that? In everything. Look at the verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That settles it. So if you're struggling and like, what's God's will for you? Should I take this job or this college or that college? Or should I go this way or that way? Sometimes I think those things don't matter as much as the way that we do it. God didn't care if I went to Nichols or LSU. God cared the way I presented myself at Nichols and or LSU. I went to Nichols, go Colonel. And so what he wanted me to do was be a person that gave thanks in every situation. And all that I do, God is saying, this is the way that you live. This is my will for you. This is his will for you, that you magnify him and that you lift him up and you do it in thanksgiving. It's not complicated. It's just going to change the way that you do life. Because we like grumble. We like complaining. We like doing all those things. We like magnifying the job. We like magnifying the problem. We like magnifying anything. We like looking at these things or this person or this concern or this worry. We're used to that. And God says, stop that and start magnifying me in everything. Give thanks. It is the will of God for our lives. Saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to magnify God in the smallest of things. Sometimes that seems simple. We want the big things. We want the mighty things. We want to hear God roar. And God is just saying, in the everyday common areas of your life, magnify me. Exalt the name of the Lord. Give thanks to God, for he is good. Give thanks to God through writing a list. Give thanks to God, reminding you that you're receiving a kingdom that is to come. Give thanks to God in everything that you do. And then you will see God be magnified. Can you do this? Can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? We're going to play some music on the back, and I thought, let's have a practical application to the end of the sermon. I'm convicted by listening to my own sermon. I was writing this at the beginning of the week, and the Lord just had me do this again. He said, just go. And so yesterday, walking the neighborhood, and at the end of my time with the Lord and reading the word and just focusing on just fasting and praying for VBS and all that God has put before me, I just felt the Lord say, just do this, Tara. Just magnify God. Put away your magnifying glass on the problems, the concerns, the worries. And just thank me. So there I was again, Saturday morning, just saying, okay, God, I thank you. I started with oat milk because I'm still really about that. But then I just began to be more sincere and through my heart said, Lord, look at what he's done. So I wanted to give you that opportunity this morning, just you and your Savior, that you would, in your list, in your head, and maybe you need to go home and write it, or maybe you have a pen right now and you can write a couple things. But I just wanted to give you a minute where you and the Lord say, God, I just magnify you because you're good. And then be specific, a couple of real things that are personal to you. And your temptation will be, because the enemy has sort of controlled the way our thinking, the temptation in this prayer time is like you'll go back to your problem, or you'll go back to your concern, or you'll go back to your worry, or you'll go back to your job. But I encourage you just to sort of battle that this morning. It's okay, Lord, I'm not going back to that concern. I'm just going to magnify you through it with thanksgiving. So here's what we're going to do. Just you and the Lord, if you have a pen, write something. Would you just tell him, just in the quiet of this space, will you just say, Lord, these are the things I thank you for. Can you just tell him in your own way, thank you for being good? Can you thank him that you're receiving a kingdom that is eternal? Can you ask him, Lord, help me to be thankful and magnify you in all things, because that's the will of God for my life. Can you just sort of spend a moment there? I think it's a great way to start our prayers. When we pray and you don't know what to pray, just write a list. Say, Lord, these things I thank you for. Can we just pray before the Lord? And I encourage you to make this a habit of your life, to magnify the Lord. Make much of God in the small, everyday things of your life. God, I thank you that I live here. God, I thank you that we have air conditioning this morning. God, I thank you that I go home. Lord, I have a house. God, just those tiny things. But it will change the position of your heart. It will revive your heart again. God, I thank you that I get to go to this job. God, I thank you that I get to go to this. You know, like those kind of things start to revive you. Instead of grumbling and complaining and you're bitter and you're thinking about and magnifying all the problems, right now all you're doing is saying, Lord, I put you back on the throne. And I do that by magnifying the Lord with thanksgiving, with thankfulness. And you do it now, and you do it when you go to sleep tonight and before you wake up. You know, when you wake up in the morning, instead of thinking about whatever it is that you used to think about, start directing your heart and say, Lord, help me to magnify you with thanksgiving. God, knowing this is the will of God, can we just pray? And then we're going to do a blessing over you guys. Lord, we thank you. God, we thank you for the small things in our lives. God, we thank you that we sit in this position, Lord, that we sit in a chair that's comfortable. God, that we get to enter into a place. God, thank you for air conditioning, Lord. God, thank you that we live in a country, Lord, that is just blessed and favored, God, and we get the benefit of that, Lord. God, we thank you for that. God, thank you that we're not persecuted. God, that we get to come and worship freely the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we thank you for that. God, we thank you for each area of our life, God, for the small things that we just forget, Lord, about how good you are. God, we thank you that you're creating for us an eternal home, that this is not the end game. God, we thank you for Jesus who paid the price so that we can get there and paid the price and substituted his life for ours. God, we thank you. God, we thank you that you're creating a heavenly home, and there is a place, God, where there will be no weeping. God, there will be no gnashing. There will be nothing, Lord, but you, Lord, and we thank you for that. God, we thank you that you are good at all times. God, that your character and the way that you have positioned yourself is justice and full of justice, and you're good, Father. God, we thank you, Lord, that in all things that you have done in our lives, all positions in our lives, God, that we've been able to give you thanks. God, we ask, God, that your name would be magnified in our life, that your name would be great in our life. God, we thank you. God, we choose today to magnify you through thankfulness. In Jesus' name. Can we pray that blessing over you? Would you stand to your feet, please? And we're going to pray that blessing. Would you all stand? We need a bulletin. A bulletin, yeah. You all read it? We're just going to pray this blessing over you as you leave. We just want to be faithful and committed to this. As you faithfully obey the Lord your God, God, that you would be careful to follow him in all your ways, that the Lord God would bless you indeed. And he would enlarge your territory, and that his hand would be with you, and he would keep you from evil. We ask the Lord command his blessing on your life and all that you undertake. We pray that the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and that every curse will be broken. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. We pray that the Lord would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Finally, that you would know the immeasurable greatness of his power, knowing that he will do more than you can ask or think or imagine, according to his power at work in us. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Be blessed. Go out and magnify the Lord. Pray for us this week, that we'll have stamina and that we'll run with the